hello there, everybody,
and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. Recording right now at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. This is show number 85, guys. And it is, what, July the 20th, 2004?
That's right.
For the next hour, we're going to be talking about building, repairing, maintaining, all design with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Well, Tom, how's everything today, man?
It's certainly nice to have you with us today, Donald.
Good to be here.
Hi, Don Patterson.
Hi there, Thomas.
It's good to have you, too.
Certainly, you'll never know.
My name, by the way, is Tom Houston. Dale Campbell's going to be with us today. Hi, Dale.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Oh, great. Good to have you along today.
Why, thank you.
But let me introduce the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. I just look
forward to
this opportunity every week. It just makes me feel so good from my head to the bottom of my toes. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
That was the chemo that made you do that.
Oh. It helped.
Hello there. How are you? Well, we're not going to repair or any of that sort of stuff today. We're going to cook in the dark today, Dale, aren't we, huh?
That's right. We're going to get fat and sassy today.
It's that day, yeah. Cooking in the dark. We haven't seen you in how long?
Been a couple months. We had a little electrical problem from the skies above. Seems like you're a marked man up there, Mr. Parr.
Well, it does, but then you had a vacation. You were down in, St. Croix?
Yeah, St. Croix, down in the Virgin Islands. We had to get away for a little while.
And we went to Padre Island, and Don Shaw's planning a trip to the beach, and Don's running his, I think his bunch is all going to Galveston next week or some in the next
all right.
day or two. So it's,
you'll have to drop in, Mr. Shaw.
Yeah, we'll be giving you a call here in a while.
Yeah, Dale, all of my group are going to the beach next Monday, and I have to stay home and tend the dogs all by myself. Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, man. Yeah, you'll be sitting there with your cognac and your cigar in the silence.
It is sad the way things work out. But I guess your trip to St. Croix was lots of fun. You got lots of sun.
Lots of fun. We got to go hang out with JJ, the beer-drinking pig. And,
hey, all right.
Because down on the island, there's water sports and drinking, and if it's raining, well, there's only drinking.
Yeah, only drinking. Mm-hmm. Huh?
So we toured a few bars.
Did you now?
They do have a rum factory down there in St. Croix that produces 90% of the world's rum.
I think we talked about that last time. 90% of the world's rum is produced in St. Croix.
Yeah, and we went walking in there this time on this little tour that we were on, and the lady saw us and recognized us and said, well, you know, you've been on this tour before, so why don't you just come over here and sit down at the bar while they do the tour?
So that's what you did.
Yeah, that wasn't a problem. No arguments for me.
What a deal, man. Because I guess a tour of a rum factory for a blind guy isn't a whole lot of fun, is it?
No, it's pretty much. And I tell you, even for the sighted people, when you see it, and you think rum factory, you know, we're used to seeing the big breweries and everything like that. And you see this place, and it's like, golly, this is a rum factory? They make rum here?
Is that
it's
right?
It's an old building with a bunch of old barrels stacked up outside.
But they produce 90% of the world's rum.
90% of the world's rum. And a lot of it they send out in raw form, in the molasses form.
Yeah.
Everybody else
They cook it down or do whatever you do to it.
Yeah, and they've got tons of flavors now. I mean, I had pineapple rum with orange juice and orange rum with pineapple juice. And
yeah.
Wow. You've got to try them all.
Well, that's good. So it sounds like a fun vacation. And
yeah, so when you guys were down in Padre, did you have a chance to check out that new Schlitterbahn down there?
We have done that the last 3 years. You know, there's. I don't see the point in going to Padre anymore. All the kids do, we rent this condo that has a pool, and they're either in the pool or they want to go to Schlitterbahn or they're at the movies. They never go to the damn beach. I don't see. There's no point in going to it, but we could do that here at home. We got a swimming pool, you know.
That's true. Right?
You could.
Get the hose out, put a blindfold on them, and make them think they're at the Schlitterbahn.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
With blind kid, you wouldn't even have to do that, would you?
You wouldn't.
That's right.
You could just tell them.
Just tell them. Wouldn't know the difference, wouldn't they? All right. Well, let's. I guess let's get to it. Do we have Cooking in the Dark email?
I think we have a couple there that were sent in. A couple conversations that came up were about those boll weevils, those doggone little bugs that you get in your flour and. Rice and all that stuff.
Well, y'all go ahead, Tom. What have you got?
Well, now, I didn't get the one about the boll weevils. Now, I did get the one about the flour.
Right.
And substituting the all-purpose flour for cake flour.
Yes.
You should make the following. I'll just jump right into it here. Modifications to your recipe. One, if the recipe does not call for separating the eggs and beating the egg whites until they hold a peak and folding them, and as the last step in the mixing process, then this should be done. Number two, because you're using a higher gluten content flour, you want to mix it as little as possible. It is the mixing process that activates the gluten and makes cakes or muffins tough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's one thing that's been pretty interesting to me is in.
We probably need to start this discussion at the beginning because I'm lost. Could you give us some background here?
Cake flour is sometimes is a much a lighter flour, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And in a case where a recipe would be calling for cake flour,
uh-huh.
if all you have is all-purpose flour.
Uh-huh.
You can still, make your recipe.
It can still be done, but...
You need to adhere to those to the little differences there. Because of that higher gluten content, it'll make for a heavier a heavier finished product.
A denser kind of a cake.
Right.
Okay, so there is a difference in cake flour and other flour.
Yeah, there's a cake flour, all-purpose flour, coarse wheat flour.
Yeah.
Bread flour.
Bread flours. There's rice flour. There's all different types.
But
one thing that came up we were discussing was these boll weevils. You know, it's the little bugs that seem to just appear out of nowhere sometimes in your flour or rice.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that these actually come from the field.
Really?
Because the boll weevil actually lays its eggs in the field into the grain. And then after it's processed, these eggs are still inside the finished flour that comes to you at the house. And after waiting for, after they sit there for a while, they'll hatch and start eating their way out. And they end up being little bitty black bugs all over your food. It was pretty embarrassing for me. I was cooking dinner for my mom for Mother's Day, and we had some breadcrumbs that we used from this chicken recipe. And sure enough, Skylar goes, "Man, there's bugs crawling on my food." And everybody was sight looked, and sure enough, we had weevils.
Wow.
Falling around on everything.
This was
one way that was interesting to kill these little critters is to, you can put your bag of flour in the microwave and microwave it 5 or 10 minutes, and it will kill the eggs. Another suggestion from a list member was to put bay leaves, one or two bay leaves, like in the bottom of a Tupperware container that you would be putting your, dumping your flour in or rice in or something like that, and that will help keep them from, growing or hatching or... keep them out of the flour somehow.
Well, are you saying, though, that it's better, you're better off to eat a dead weevil as opposed to a live one?
The microwave would do is kill them.
Through the milling process, I'm thinking, I wonder if they'll make it through a digestive process, too.
I don't know.
Sure is disheartening to look down and all of a sudden see your food moving. Like, hey, especially after it's been baked at 450 degrees. And
So you cooked dinner for your mother, and everybody was eating, and they discovered these while they were eating.
Yes,
so they
discovered it while we were eating.
So you had to go to McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah, we buzzed right on out and went down and had ribs instead.
Wow.
I'll be damned.
Man.
And they sell it to you with boll weevils in it.
Yeah, it's sold in the stores that way.
No extra charge.
No extra protein just for you.
And these are boll weevils like we used to talk about in cotton. Just looking for a home.
Right.
Just looking for a home. The boll weevil, remember there was always, Tex Ritter had a song about it. Remember that?
Yeah.
The boll weevil.
A free concert right there for everybody.
Seems like I saw some type of bug in some wheat bread that we bought at the grocery store one time. And I wonder if that could be the boll weevil.
I bet it was.
Probably was.
Well, what is
wheat
the
bread.
What is the FDA doing about this? I mean, we don't...
They're recommending that you eat more for extra protein. No, there's not really anything you can do about it. Bryce wrote in and said in California now he hasn't recalled or seen them run across them at all in food out there in many years. But from other people on the list from all over the U.S., it's a problem everywhere.
This happens all the time.
Yeah, and buy what you're going to use. If you don't buy flour that's going to, you expect to keep for
store it long.
For a month or 2 months or 3 months or something, buy what you think you're going to use and then just keep replacing as you go. Some people will store it in a freezer, and that'll seem to help deter the little varmints.
Okay, but they're in there anyway.
They're in there. They come in there from the field.
And they're just there. They have not hatched.
Right. They're there, but they just haven't hatched yet.
Well,
it's kind of like it could almost be a movie like Alien or something.
Every disease known to man could probably be attributed to the boll weevil.
That ends my love affair with bread, does it?
Well, folks, we have got a great meal today. Quick and easy. and very delicious. It is a grilled steak with a blue cheese and butter dressing.
Yeah.
Kind of drizzled over the top of the steak. Sauteed mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
A Caesar salad with homemade dressing. And for dessert, it's a recipe called strawberry cups. It's actually a diabetic-friendly dessert. We've got the grilled steaks, because it's so doggone hot, I'm going to be broiling these things instead of outside grilling them.
You're going to do them in the oven.
Yeah, and I figure everybody's probably got the old broiler going on in the oven. But And I tell you, it's been so hot down here. We had a farmer had a field of corn. All his corn popped because it was so hot. His cow saw all the white stuff in the air, thought it was a blizzard, and froze to death.
Yeah. All right. A little cooking in the dark humor.
Just a little humor.
A little cooking. Did you have another email that you wanted to read, or was that it? Was that all?
We do have something here. This is, it says, howdy, here's a little F for your information for the cooking show. It says, Dale, I heard about orange cauliflower on a newsletter from Dr. Andrew Whale at www.drwhalesselfhealing.com, and he says that orange cauliflower will start appearing in grocery stores soon, if not already there.
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be more nutritious with more beta carotene. And then a response to that, I guess, on your list there.
Right.
Gene says, I was reading a book and they were talking about orange cauliflower. Has anyone ever heard of orange cauliflower? I haven't, quite frankly. The article stated that orange cauliflower is supposed to be more nutritious than the white cauliflower. Was this article just pulling the reader's leg? Was it?
No. There is, on the market, there will be, from what we understand, orange cauliflower beginning to appear.
Boy.
And I guess because of it, the orange color, the only thing I can think of having more beta carotene in it is similar to carrots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being an orange in color and the same thing. But I tell you, we've been eating a lot of cauliflower here lately and just love it.
It's good stuff.
Doing the that Atkins South Beach mashed potato recipe, it's actually steamed cauliflower. And then you whip, you know, mash it up like you would potatoes and butter and salt and pepper, season it up, and it's delicious. I thought it'd be pretty nasty, but I loved it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd care for that, but it's pretty good, huh?
It's pretty good. I'd say it's one of those things, if you know what you're eating, you may have some reservations about it, but if somebody throws it out in front of you and you eat it up, you'll be asking for a second.
That's the deal with lots of foods.
Oh, yeah, it is.
If you don't worry about it and just go ahead and eat it, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tyler likes doing that with people with calamari. She'll tell them it's calamari, and little kids, friends of hers or whatever, they'll eat it, and then they'll realize, then she'll tell them what it is.
Yeah. What happened? Are you hurt?
Crash. No,
right.
We're fine.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, then we'll start cooking, okay?
All right, sounds
all
good.
All right, little quick break, back in just a minute with more of the Cooking in the Dark show on the Blind Handyman.
November 7th, 2004 in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And you're invited to the celebration. We'll begin Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll have special motivational speakers and panel discussions on blindness issues. Then it's Saturday night and on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then it's Sunday night and time for more live music and karaoke. All in all, a great weekend to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. Reservations and meeting room space are limited. It's first come, first serve. Join us in Houston, Texas this November, and we'll guarantee you a weekend you'll not soon forget. 936-634-9500.
This is the Blind Handyman, Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, Jan.
Yeah, I guess we ought to have ever do some of those for Dale, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we need a Dale Campbell.
I'll work on that.
Cooking in the dark promo.
I'll get Jan to do that. She was around. She's ready to do things.
Hey, that'd be great.
Lost 100 pounds.
All right.
And looks good.
Yeah. We need a little promo like that.
We do. I'll work on that, sir.
Especially when we've got a little surprise. We've been working on a little project on the cooking list, too. We've started, we're going to come out with our, because as it is right now, y'all know today is the, or this month is the anniversary of the first show.
I guess it is.
It was in July of last year that we started this here little show.
Well, 2 years ago we started this whole thing.
So 100's coming fast.
So 100's coming.
I can't wait.
100's
and it just
coming
so happens that 100th show is going to celebrate my 40th birthday. How about that?
That's right. You'll be 40 years old on the 5th of November, and that's when we all arrive in Houston, isn't it? So
I think it'll be great.
We got a good rate on the hotel. Anybody that's interested, be sure and call, because we have room for only so many people, and so it's first come, first serve. Anyway, go ahead.
That'll be awesome. We're going to start off what I've done while we were on a little break. I went ahead and put the steak on a broiling pan, and I've had three sirloins marinating in a marinade, and I use a teriyaki sauce marinade. But when you go to the grocery store, tell them you want to look at their marinade, and they have got all different types, all made by different companies. Teriyaki with pineapple, Caribbean jerk, I mean, all different types of marinade. Choose what you like. I took them, took the marinade, put it in a Ziploc bag along with the steak, and had it marinating overnight in the refrigerator. Then about 30 minutes before you begin to get ready to cook your steaks, you want to go ahead and pull them out and start letting them warm up to room temperature. But I've taken them and laid them on a broiling pan. And one little hint, you might want to, before you use your broiling pan, go ahead and lay some foil in the bottom of it. And that way it'll help catch some of the grease and stuff and make cleanup a lot easier for you. A little less scrubbing anyway.
Yeah.
But I've split the steaks in, and basically I'm going to broil them on each side for just about 10 minutes. And depending on if you like them well done, medium well, medium, you know, rare, then you can adjust that cooking time.
Now,
but
well, 10 minutes would do them how? Would do a medium or how? What would
medium,
10 minutes?
It'll kind of depend on the thickness of the steak, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But medium should be, I'd say, about 7 or 8 minutes. On
now, are you up close to the broiler? Are you second notch down from the broiler? Where do you?
No, I've moved the good point there. I moved the oven rack up to the top, and I'm using an electric oven.
Sure.
So the top element will come on when you broil.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I've moved the rack up to the top level in the oven, so the meat will be close to the.
Yeah, so they're only maybe 5 inches, 3 inches from the actual oven.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they'll start sizzling here pretty quickly.
You bet. I got a question, Dale, before we get away from the marinade. Do you find that putting the marinade and the steak into a Ziploc bag and sealing it works better than using using a shallow pan or the same or what?
Well, the thing I like about the Ziploc bag is the disposability. And also when you go to put it in the refrigerator, like to marinate overnight, you can just reach in there and flip it around, move it around, and it'll fit in there a lot easier in the Ziploc bag than in a bigger pan.
Yeah. I'd like to try that. That's, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah. Now, I've got one of those, like the marinade Tupperware pieces.
Yeah, I do, too.
You know, it's like a big, kind of like a big tub.
Yeah.
It's made for marinating, and I've used that before, depending on what I had, if I had a whole lot of stuff. But, again, trying to find space to get that thing, you know, into the oven is, mm-hmm. I mean, into the refrigerator. Is kind of troublesome sometimes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. All right. We got steaks in. You haven't started them, have you?
Yeah, steaks are in. They're in there. They should start sizzling here in a little bit. And one thing I've done is I've cracked the oven door just a bit to let some of the heat escape as well, so it doesn't get too hot in there.
Uh-huh.
Now for the dessert, I'm going to go ahead and make the dessert, because what we're going to do is we've taken a cup of boiling water, tossed it in the blender, and to that we've added a small package of Jell-O. Unsweetened strawberry Jell-O. We're going to blend it up just for about 10 or 15 seconds here.
All right.
And then...
I love these sound effects. Aren't they great?
They are.
Just want to get it good and mixed.
All right.
Now we're going to come back with the good stuff here and add a pint of
rum.
Strawberries.
Oh, strawberries.
Rum.
Now, Candace, before she took off this afternoon, was nice enough to haul these for me to get all the stems and seeds out of the top of them. Uh-huh. After we drop these in and kind of grind them up, mix them up in with this, we're going to take the blender, and well, not the blender, just the little carafe that sits on top here, stick it in the fridge for about 10 minutes to let it kind of start chilling and setting up.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and blend these here strawberries up. All right. Okay. I'll go ahead and set this in the refrigerator.
I love it.
Let it start setting up. After it sets up, we're going to take it back to the blender and add 3/4 cup of whipping cream.
Whoa.
Blend that up, and then pour it into, if you want to pour it into individual cups, you can do that for serving. I picked up a graham cracker pie crust, you know, pie shell to pour it into.
Uh-huh.
Just for ease. Instead of having 5 dirty dishes, we'll have one cake or one pie pan.
Well, yeah, that'll be better. Much better.
I think it'll be a little bit easier. So that's all we have for that. Now, the other item that we're going to be doing are sautéed mushrooms.
That'll work.
And these are so easy, these sautéed mushrooms. So delicious. It's one of Skylar's, you know, my daughter's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done is taken about a pint of fresh whole white mushrooms. Now, you can use the sliced mushrooms if you want to. It just depends on your preference. We like the whole ones, and I cut them in half from, you know, split the stem and split the cap in half just because of the bigger pieces. These will, the mushrooms will reduce down.
Yeah,
after
they'll
cook them.
Yeah.
So that sometimes with the sliced mushrooms that come pre-sliced, they're a little bit hard to find for the old blind guy here. And if I don't get my plate clean and get in for seconds, I don't have any left.
What a deal.
You say there aren't any left if you don't
have time for mushrooms.
So, but these steaks are going to be ready before everything else is, aren't they?
The steaks will be ready. The steaks will take about 20 minutes. Now, one thing we have to do with the steaks after the steaks are done, you want to let them rest for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
Then you want to take them and slice them into some thin strips, and then we'll come over the top with a butter and blue cheese, I guess, mix, if you will.
Oh, you're not just going to eat these. You're going
We have a couple more steps after
okay.
there.
Okay, well, I was wondering where you. I thought, well, this is going to be a quick show here.
Yeah, we're going to, we'll be done and be next week before we know it. But with the mushrooms, I've got them in a saucepan, and I've put them on about a medium heat. And the mushrooms are pretty nice and forgiving, and you can let them cook pretty much the entire time your meal is going.
Yeah.
And they're really about ready whenever you take them out. Now I'm going to take, I've taken a half a stick of butter, which is about 1/4 cup.
Uh-huh.
And I've sliced it down into some smaller patties. I'm just simply going to lay this butter in here on top of the mushroom. Doesn't really have to be mixed in. It'll start to melt and...
It'll do its own melting. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now I've also gotten some garlic. Let me find my garlic press. Here it is.
All right.
I've got 3 cloves of garlic. These are smaller cloves, so if you have bigger cloves, if you don't like the taste of garlic, omit it. If you like garlic, add more. But I'm simply going to press this garlic over the top of the mushrooms.
Yeah, and everybody ought to have a garlic press. They're a pretty neat little thing.
They are very handy, and garlic really seems to step up. And Henry posted a nice little FYI thing for us. I'll have to forward that to us for the next cooking show about garlic and how, you know, roasting garlic and how cutting it or mincing it or things like that really helps to bring out the flavor in the garlic.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've been looking through. We just signed a deal with Progressive International to start handling a lot of kitchen utensils. I've been reading through their catalog, trying to get all that all put together in a format that I can read, because the old open book program just doesn't like scanning those catalogs sometimes.
Oh, no, it doesn't do it too well. Did you
say? Doesn't do very good. So I've been trying to go through and edit that, but goodness gracious, there's colanders and graters and funnels and mixing bowls and, I mean, you name it, we're going to be carrying a lot of that stuff at Blind Mike.
Did you say that Henry used to have a restaurant, Kaysen?
Yeah, Henry used to have an Italian restaurant.
So he would know from garlic, wouldn't he, huh?
He sure would. He's given us some great tips regarding some, you know, Italian dishes, a homemade pizza. One of his hints for the homemade pizza was to make a little garlic butter.
Yeah.
And before you start putting your ingredients on the crust, brush it with that garlic butter.
Well, we're hoping to actually make his shake his hand in Houston this fall. I think he's a...
I spoke to him, I guess it's been a few weeks ago, but he's planning on being there.
Well, that's good. We want him to give us a little talk and do a little motivational speech, and he's pretty well promised here. Come, I guess his medical problems. Is he pretty well feeling better, doing better?
Yeah, I think he is. I think so. Yeah, and boy, he's dealing with the diabetes thing.
Yeah, pretty serious.
That doggone thing, that's just not a fun thing sometimes.
Well, I've been messed up, and I haven't checked the list in probably 2 weeks. My Outlook Express went nuts here 2 weeks ago, so I have not been fooling with the list. So I don't know what's going on any list. I'm going to have to get back in service here pretty soon. I've been on vacation. That's me.
It's hard to get back off vacation, isn't it?
It is. It's difficult. I can't do it. I can't seem to revive.
Okay, I just had to sample our wine here.
All right.
It's a nice red wine, a homemade wine that we made.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to be adding just a few, pour the bottle, count to five, and over the mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
Or if you want to get exact on it, I guess about a half a cup or so of wine. And just not too much. You don't want to drown the mushrooms in, but you do want to have something in there to have them, to let them saute in and have a little flavor in. Mm-hmm. Let me take one more sip of this.
All right. Yeah, might as well.
A little red wine, good for you, right?
We're doing a little sampling ourselves here. One of our guys just got back with a couple more samples.
That's right.
Okay.
Here.
That's it. You got it.
I wish I was up there sampling with y'all.
I wish you were, sir.
Okay, I'm going to pull these steaks out.
All right.
And they've been in there just about 10 minutes on this side. Pull them out, flip them over, and stick them back in. Using my handy-dandy kitchen oven grips here.
The big ones, those great big ones, right?
Yeah. Well, they come almost all the way up my forearm.
They work good, too.
Yeah.
They are great. And, Mr. Shaw, I loved your idea of getting a second pair and keeping out by the freezer.
Yeah, good.
There's been many times I've been doing that dance.
Yeah.
That cold hand dance out there,
Good for digging down in that big freezer, man.
Yeah.
All right.
What was going to
feed the steaks back in?
It was a sample.
How's that sampling going up there?
I think that was a sample noise you may have heard on the air there, which wouldn't. Someone got a little carried away.
Yeah, that's right. On
blind
handyman cooking in the dark, we try everything before we pass.
We certainly do. Wouldn't want to offer anything to anyone that we hadn't sampled ourselves, would we? No,
that's right.
Not. So, okay, steaks are being turned, and
steaks have been turned, and they're now back in broiling, and we're going to let those go about 10 or 12 minutes here.
All right, you got a timer going.
Mushrooms are sautéing, and what we have left to do is finish the dessert.
All right.
And make the Caesar salad. So, y'all want to take a break and come back, or?
Well, we could certainly do that. What time is it? Where are we?
Oh, it's 3:30 or so.
We've got about another half hour to go. You want to take a break now?
We can go ahead and jump right on in and start making the salad dressing.
Yeah, well, we're ready to do that whenever you are.
For the Caesar salad, it's super simple, super easy. It's what you want to get is get a head of romaine lettuce, or if you want to, you can get a bag of romaine that's already torn up into pieces, because what you want to do is take this head of lettuce, break it off, wash it, and then tear the leaves down into bite-sized pieces. And that can be kind of like a thankless task sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've washed all the leaves, and I've torn them up already, and I've left them in the colander that I kind of drained them in. Simply so that after we make this dressing and we start mixing it all up, if it's too heavy or some of the excess will drain through the colander so that you don't have a salad that's like swimming in this dressing.
Yeah. All right.
You really don't want that. Now, for the dressing for the Caesar salad, it's 1 cup of real mayonnaise. Chunk that right in there.
Real mayonnaise.
And then you want to add 1/4 cup of Worcestershire sauce.
All right.
Add that right in.
What's this here sauce?
You want the juice from one lime. And remember, when you're going to juice a lime, if you'll take it and roll it around on the countertop first.
Make it and soften it up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It kind of breaks it up a little bit and, you know, breaks the, I guess, yeah, citrus cells, if you want to call them that, inside it.
Makes it a little pulpy inside or whatever.
And what I'll do is I'm just going to pierce it with a knife right on the side of
all
the
right.
lemon. And
you,
just
you can hear that, start. Couldn't you?
Uh-huh.
Is that the piercing of the
of the can?
It was.
Oh.
Squeezing out the juice.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
What all right, it's, limes don't make a lot of noise. See, that's the deal. Cause you,
no
you
sound
can't,
effects there.
You can't hear a lime, you know. It's,
this one was kind of talking back.
one hand clapping in the forest. You can't you can't hear that, so you just have to imagine that we're juicing a lime here while we're talking on the radio. But it's
that's
actually
right.
happening.
Yeah, that was what we were doing.
That's exactly what you were doing.
Okay, right. Now we're going to go ahead and... I'm going to mix this up a little bit here, the mayonnaise and the Worcester sauce.
All right.
And the lime juice. Get it broken down a little bit to a little thinner consistency.
All right.
Then we're going to add to this about a quarter cup of grated Parmesan or whatever type of hard cheese you might like.
What, and melted or grated or what?
I bought mine already. Basically, I got mine right out of the old shaker bottle already grated.
Oh, you bought it grated? So
yeah,
you,
I bought
okay.
it grated. That makes it hard cheese sometimes, unless you have a grater with real fine teeth on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty kind of hard to grate.
Yeah.
You know, it's like at Olive Garden, they've got those cool little drum graters that grate their Parmesan. I'm like, well, I want one of those, but they never lay them down long enough for me to grab
so,
it.
So you just bought some Parmesan, and that's what
you're using. I just bought it in the old can, and...
Shaking
same
it
stuff you sprinkle on top of spaghetti or on a pizza or something like that.
Good
okay,
stuff.
This is mixed up really nicely.
Oh, really good stuff. And you're doing all this in the colander, over the lettuce, in the colander.
Well, I'm mixing everything up right now in a bowl.
Okay.
Just in a bowl, and then once I get the salad dressing mix, I will pour it over the salad that's in the colander. And let it kind of, it'll actually end up kind of start sticking to the... You know, to the lettuce leaves.
And so, but if there's any excess, it'll just go down the drain.
If there's too much, it'll, drain right through into the sink. Yeah, and that's
okay.
right. I've got the colander in the sink.
Okay.
Don't leave it sitting on the countertop.
Well, that's always good for blind people.
You'll have a bit of a mess there to clean up.
You'll have a terrible mess if you...
Now, if you like, if you want a little extra Parmesan, go ahead and sprinkle it in there.
Oh, yeah, I would probably like a lot.
We're going to add... One thing I'm going to add also when this is done... Some sunflower seed kernels, just to dress up the salad a little bit. Nothing you have to do.
Yeah, I might leave those off. They might get in your teeth.
Say it's hard to stay out of them when you don't have to crack the shell.
Okay.
We're going to add a little grated pepper or a fresh ground pepper.
Yeah. Let's hear that pepper grinder. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Come on. There we go. That's what we need. We need more sound effects
on
that. Cooking in the dark show.
I just got to put my face in it.
That's what we're lost is. Cooking is a sound effect.
Yeah.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Pepper mill.
Up, and then we're going to go ahead and pour it on top of the dressing.
I had a can of chicken noodle soup for lunch. And I'm
get my rings off here first.
Your what?
Taking off my rings.
Oh, you're okay. All
right. My wedding ring, because this is one of them jobs you're just going to have to get your hands.
You're just going to have to get your hands.
Take your watch and your ring off. That's what I always do.
I don't want that to end up in the salad accidentally.
Yeah,
no kidding.
That'll be a gold filling I don't want to give up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plus, Skylar would get on to me. She's always the first one to notice if I don't have my ring on.
Where is Skylar? They gone somewhere? Where
she
are they
is
going?
Down at my mother-in-law's down in Dickinson.
So you're kidless. You're kidless for a day or two, right?
Yeah. They're down there. We went down and had lunch with them this morning early this afternoon, and Skylar decided to hang out down there. Okay, here we go. We're going to dump the salad dressing on. And then just basically use our hands
to mix it all together.
Mix it in all over all the good lettuce.
Yeah.
It kind of is pretty... It'll stick to your hands a little bit, so when you're doing this, make sure you're to where you can get to the sink.
Well, I wish we were on TV so we could see this. would really be.
Hey, I'm looking good in my cooking in the dark apron, I'll tell you.
Cooking in the dark apron?
Cooking in the dark apron.
Mixing up his salad and his colander. Then are you going to put this in the bowl and put it in the fridge?
That's right.
And let it sit while we're, because we're about coming down. We take a little break. We'll be time to get the steaks out and do whatever they're our second.
Get the steaks out and finish up our dessert.
Our dessert.
And, man, pretty soon it'll be dinner time.
It will be.
It
you
will.
Wanna, why don't we go ahead and take a little short pause and be right back with more Dale Campbell's Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Something special planned for Sunday afternoon.
Then it's Sunday night and time for more live music and karaoke.
All in all, a great weekend to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. Reservations and meeting room space are limited. It's first come, first serve. Join us in Houston, Texas this November, and we'll guarantee you a weekend you'll not soon forget. 936-634-9500.
Are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Yeah, I read this book the other day that said if you when you are being intimate with your lover, you should talk. You should carry on a dialect or a conversation. And of course, in East Texas, that means, relax, baby. There ain't no traffic on this road after 9:30. Besides that, I got Albert up there watching.
Mercy.
Yeah, a little levity to sort of start off our third half
but,
here.
You know, what's said after... we better not go there. It's still kind of a family show.
Probably not. It is a family show.
We'll save it for November.
Save that for November. All right. Where are we here? What are we doing? We got to.
All right. I'm taking a quarter stick of butter.
Half
a stick of butter, which is a quarter cup of butter.
Yeah.
And I've put it in a little microwave bowl here. And to that, I'm going to add about 2 tablespoons of blue cheese.
Good heavens.
Now, it's the crumbled blue cheese. Uh-huh. And, it's pretty strong, so if you're a fan of blue cheese, and of course you know what we're talking about, you'll probably add more than what I'm adding, these 2 tablespoons.
Well, it's a blue cheese crumble.
If you're not a fan of it, you'll probably add less.
It's a blue cheese crumble like you do on a salad if you're doing
it. You can buy it usually at every grocery store they've got it, and it comes in either a little tub or usually about a little 4-ounce container,
mm-hmm.
made by several different brands out there.
And it's pretty stout.
We'll just go ahead and toss this in the microwave here. I'm going to go about 40 seconds and let it start melting. Then I'll pull it out and kind of stir it up. And actually, I'll just let it sit in there for a little bit after it's done until we get the steaks cut up. What I've got now, I've got the dessert back on the blender.
All right.
Hit it for a second.
Here we go. I heard it.
Find the whipping cream. Hmm. It was here just a second ago.
It's got to be there somewhere.
Those gremlins, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to put that stuff where you know where it is or you'll lose it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
In a heartbeat is right. You find it?
No, not yet. And you know what's really bad? I'm the only one here, so.
You're the only one there.
The only person to blame is me.
No, it's there somewhere now. Come on.
Yeah. Let me see if I didn't stick it back up in here.
Yeah, it'd be pretty tough to get the sour cream instead of the whipping cream or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. See? All right.
It's a little, like one of those little milk cartons you used to get at school, you know, a little 4-ounce, little 8-ounce milk carton. Okay,
so it
pour that in.
Has a distinctive look.
And we'll.
There we go.
Grind that up. Mix it up. Okay, from here, we take the dessert. And you can either, like I said earlier, pour it into some cups if you would like, individual cups, or whatever. I'm going to use a pie shell.
Yeah, that'd be hard for a blind person to do, pour it into individual cups.
Yeah, you know, good point. I didn't even think of that.
Dump it in the pie crust. What the heck, you know, and it'll...
Pour that in there. Okay, we're in the pie shell. You know, while I was looking for these pie shells, let me stick this in the fridge right here. Okay, that's in there. Chill. It'll chill and set up, and after dinner it'll be...
Ready to go.
Ready
all
to
right.
chow on. Now, if you want to, save a few of the strawberries and slice them or cut them up, decorate them however you want, and then you could sprinkle those on top of this dessert after you put it in the refrigerator itself. Mm-hmm. Kind of dress it up on top a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw some Cool Whip on there if you'd like. That'll be good stuff.
Make it look better.
Yeah, there you go.
More aesthetic is a. Is
yeah,
a,
you gotta have. It's still gotta look pretty appetizing.
Oh yeah, food has to look good for sighted people. They won't eat it. We found
that's right.
The blind school, they didn't care. But
yeah, that's right.
Food's got to look good. I don't like the way it looks. Well, they probably won't eat.
Well, and that's, you know, sometimes that's it. I mean, sometimes food doesn't look appetizing. Or I can remember as a little kid going through the kitchen and. Seeing how something was made, what all went into it. Oh, man, I don't think I'm going to eat that anymore.
You know, it's real strange, too. You talk about the orange cauliflower. Do you remember when they came out with the yellow tomato? And they weren't a big seller because they tasted good. They tasted just like, but they didn't look like a tomato. And you know, at A&M, they did a maroon because of their color carrots. You could buy dark maroon carrots, but nobody bought them because they don't look like carrots.
Yeah. They didn't resemble a carrot.
I mean, they looked like a carrot, but the wrong color, and that's the way the yellow tomato was.
The Aggies wouldn't even buy them, huh?
Guess not.
Probably not.
I don't know if they did it. I saw them, and I've eaten them, but the, you know.
Now, you know, if the Aggies won't buy them.
Luann had some funny colored. Was it ketchup that she had, or was it? I believe it was ketchup that she did something.
Some kind of green ketchup or something.
Some kind of green ketchup.
They're selling a ketchup that's green now.
Yeah.
And these kids would not eat it.
That's right. It didn't. It tasted like ketchup.
It was exactly that. It was ketchup that just had food coloring in it.
Yeah, and it.
Yeah, your food is not that natural. They say that half of restaurant. Feeding people at restaurants is presentation, the meal looks, you know.
And I can remember back before I lost my sight watching some of the cooking shows, and, you know, they would have the entree in the very center of the plate, maybe one little shrimp.
Yeah.
And they'd have all this, all the foo-foo stuff all around it.
Yeah.
You know, they even use different colored icings or different colored sauces and draw little designs on the plate. And, you know, goodness gracious, that's what causes the price to go from... $4.99 to $27.45.
Believe me, if you went to a sausage factory and saw it made, you wouldn't eat it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
Now, do y'all remember the down here we had the Fiesta supermarket?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
They had the one they built by us had like its own garden growing in it. Uh-huh. And it also had you could watch them make sausage.
Are they
gone? You're exactly right. That was the last time I ate sausage.
But they're gone now anyway.
Fiesta's gone, huh?
Yeah, that was the end of your sausage eating days, right?
Oh my gosh, watching that stuff go into that. Well, we won't get to
that.
Yeah,
let's don't go into that. Folks might be eating supper, but it isn't a pretty sight. And there's a lot of things happen that anyway.
Okay, what I've done, I've pulled the steaks out, and I've taken one off here, and I'm just slicing it up across the grain. That's across the steak. It's a nice long sirloin. And I'm slicing it into what I'm hoping to be is about quarter inch wide strips.
slicing it through.
I'm sorry?
You're slicing it all the way through, making
right,
quarter-inch
all the way
strips.
Through into little strips that are the width of the steak and about a quarter inch wide.
Okay.
Are you slicing it like with the flats? I mean, you're halving a steak, right?
Yeah, basically what I'm doing, I've started at one end of the steak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just working my way down from one end to the other.
Sound like fajita meat.
With about quarter-inch wide cut.
Yeah,
that sounds like fajitas, doesn't it?
Yeah, about the width of fajita meat, Dale.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Exactly. Good,
all right.
Good. Once I get this sliced, then I will take it, and from this point, it's actually just about ready to serve. If the rest of your meal's not ready, once you get them sliced, you can put them on what I did last time when I made this to practice it. I put it on plates and then just stuck them in the oven. I turned the oven off from when it was boiling,
yeah.
You know, boiling the meat. And then just put them on nice warm plates in the oven and just let them sit.
Uh huh.
And they came out great. Now,
yeah.
The blue cheese and butter mixture, the butter is going to melt down a lot quicker than the blue cheese will. If you like big pieces of blue cheese, then you won't have to do much to it. If you don't, then I suggest getting your fingers in it a little bit, feeling around for some of those pieces.
Yeah,
and
reducing their size with your fingers.
And just squish them down a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll break down really nicely.
Well, let me ask you, why did you slice that steak like that? What was the point in that?
You slice the steak that way so that when you put this butter and blue cheese mixture on it,
uh-huh.
It'll have more surface area on each bite to cover.
And so you're going to do that before you serve it?
Yeah, just
okay.
Before I serve
all
it.
All right, I got you.
In fact,
yeah.
What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take a little piece of it here and just kind of dip it in the butter. And this butter, if you don't want to pour it on top of the steak, you can put it in a little serving dish.
As a dip?
As a dip.
You could.
Talking about steaks and butter, Henry had sent, talking about that, a real good post that was a keeper for me to the list here, cooking list here a while back, and talking about marinating your steak in butter before you grilled it.
Yes.
And, man, that really sounded good. That was a keeper.
That was a great tip, wasn't it?
I'm going to try that one day
yeah,
here soon.
Yeah, you marinated the steak in butter, and then just before, and it was actually a prime rib, and before you put it on the grill, you put fresh ground pepper on it, cracked black pepper,
yeah.
All over the steak on both sides, and then I'll put it on the grill.
Oh, man.
Then he made sure to make the point, too, when it's on the grill and grilling, you want to grill it over the hottest part of the fire. When you're grilling, you actually grill over the fire.
Yeah.
If you barbecue, you move it away from the heat.
Yeah.
You turn on, like, some gas barbecue grills have, you know, a left and right burner, so you turn the right side on and put your food on the left side. I used to do that with pork chops and cook them nice and slow for about an hour, hour and a half on the side without any heat. And boy, they came out tender and just delicious.
Yeah, well, of course, I used to cook all the time with. I've got a smoker with a firebox in one end and you put the meat in the other end, just let the smoke cook it. You never cook over the fire.
And you know, since I've gotten that electric smoker, I smoke all kinds of stuff on it. It's so easy to throw some steaks out there, marinate them, pork chops, pork steaks, pork loin, turkeys, chicken, whatever. Just take it out there, put it on that smoker, and since my old one, you know, the heating element burned out, it's taken a little bit of, you know, you've got to get used to using a different appliance. So I've had to adjust my cooking times a little bit, but now that I've got that down, gosh, there's nothing easier than that.
Now, does this use water or not?
Yeah, use water. It's got in the bottom, in the firebox area, instead of wood or charcoal, it just has an electric heating element.
And you just put wood or charcoal in there, whatever you want?
Yeah, I take like some wood chunks
that
you buy, you know, wherever, and put those in foil and set them in between the heating elements.
Mesquite or hickory or whatever.
About every 4 hours I have to go out there and add a little more wood to it.
Why do you put foil? What's the purpose of
that? The foil I put so that the ashes will stay inside the foil.
Less cleanup, huh?
Well, that's
yeah,
a good
just
thought.
Make it a little bit easier to clean
and
up.
Don't you punch holes in the foil?
No.
At the top to let the flavor come
well,
out?
Well, actually what it is, I make it's almost like a pan.
A foil
that I make out of the
pan.
Foil.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I tried to get like a loaf pan at the local dollar store, you know, an aluminum loaf pan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it was a little bit too wide because the manual said not to let anything touch those heating elements.
Oh, really?
With the electricity going through, I guess it would like, you know, complete a circuit or cause that to burn out or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so I just use the foil and make like little, I don't know, about 2 inches wide and about 10 inches long and you know, just tear off a piece of foil and make a little trough out of it, basically.
And do you soak the wood?
Yeah, soak the wood for about 30 minutes to an hour beforehand and put it in there and just walk away. Fill the water, you know, fill your water basin up and lay the food on it. And
water pan above that.
Yeah, water pan above the heating element.
Right.
And then right above the water pan is one grill level. And then
another one above that.
About 9 or 10 inches above that is the second
one. All right, let me tell you. Get some chicken legs and marinate them in Italian salad dressing overnight.
Okay.
Try them. Put them on your water smoker and cook them about 6 hours and call me and tell me how good they are.
Man,
they'll
that
knock you out.
Now, Charles told me to do chicken wings and marinate them in a Caribbean jerk.
Yeah, would work.
And put them on there, and I did that, and those were delectable as well. You just can't mess up. And, you know, and that, one thing I like about it, it's pretty forgiving. If you accidentally leave the food on there an extra 15 minutes, it doesn't really affect it that much because it's not cooking at that high of a temperature. Whereas if you left something on the grill for an extra 15 minutes,
and it's strange.
I'd have new briquettes sitting right there.
You find that the top rack actually cooks faster than the bottom rack.
Yes.
And you wouldn't think that because you get reflection off that lid.
Sure. You know, and I guess it's because it's the distance away from the water.
Well, it's reflection off the lid.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
I wouldn't have even thought of that.
All right, where are we here?
I am sitting here munching, y'all.
All right, it's 3:52. It's time for you to eat. You better. We've got about 5 minutes left. You want to do a review of what we've done today?
Sure. Today, what we did was the name of the recipe is a Chicago style grilled steak with blue cheese and butter. Mm-hmm. And basically, that was you either use a sirloin or a tenderloin or whatever your favorite cut of meat is, but you want to take that meat and marinate it in a marinade of your choice overnight in the refrigerator. Then about 30 minutes before you prepare it, pull it out and let it start getting up to room temperature. And you can either grill this or broil it. And I just broiled it steaks for about 8 or 10 minutes on each side. When they come out, you want to make a mixture of butter, which is about a quarter cup of butter, which is a half a stick of butter, and about 2 tablespoons of blue cheese. Put those in the microwave, kind of melt them together, and when your steak comes out, let it rest for about 5 minutes. Ice it into like quarter inch wide slices, similar to like what you would get fajita meat in, mm-hmm. and then just drizzle the blue cheese and butter over the top of the steak, and that's all there is to it. We also did sauteed mushrooms, which was just about a pint of fresh whole white mushrooms. Now, if you have other flavors, shiitake or portobello, whatever, do what you want. Cut them up into roughly bite-sized pieces. Add about a half a cup of wine, about a quarter cup of butter, and a couple cloves of garlic in with the mushrooms. Put them on a medium-low to low heat, and basically just let them simmer for about 20 or 30 minutes mm-hmm. or until dinner's ready. And they'll come out delicious and perfect.
Man.
Now, when you simmer them, you want to make sure you have them covered with a lid. So you don't boil the liquid off or cook the liquid off. That'll keep the liquid in them and let them just start soaking up all that great flavor. We also did a Caesar salad, which was a quick and easy Caesar salad. It's one head of romaine lettuce. You want to tear that down, cut it up into bite-sized pieces. And, you know, and one thing with lettuce, while we're on that note, if you cut it with a metal blade, it will cause it to become stained. You know, it'll get that brown edges on the lettuce.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you either want to tear it or you want to use like a plastic or nylon knife to cut it up with. But there's something in the metal that causes a reaction with the lettuce that makes the lettuce, kind of look rusty.
Great tip there.
You know, it gets a little brown on it. But for the salad dressing for the Caesar, it's 1 cup of real mayonnaise, the juice of 1 lemon, a quarter cup of Worcester sauce, about a teaspoon of ground black pepper. Use more if you like it, like we do. And then you mix all that up together, kind of break it. The mayonnaise will thin itself out with the lemon juice and the Worcester in there. After you get that done, add about a quarter cup of grated Parmesan cheese. Mix that all up together. And then dump it over the top of your lettuce and mix it all up together so that the dressing that you made coats all of the salad. Then after that, garnish it with whatever you want. If you want to add sunflower seed kernels like I'm going to do, garbanzo beans, tomatoes,
be
I mean, whatever, black olives, dress it up, make it fit your personality and your taste.
So what time will Candace be home?
She will probably be home in about an hour.
So you're going to go ahead and eat.
I am going to go ahead and eat.
You might
I think
well.
Actually what we're going to end up doing is taking some of this back down to my mother-in-law's and let them sample it.
Listen, one of these cooking shows, maybe next one or one after that, let's do breakfast.
Yeah.
We haven't done
breakfast. You were reading my mind. Because,
we haven't done breakfast.
I think for the next show, the August show, I think we will do that because school will be back in.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of cool little recipes for, quick little recipes for kids, great tips for different items.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a great thing.
Why
I mean, there was
a
recipe that came through the list called a roller coaster breakfast that I made, and it was awesome.
We've never talked about blind people cooking eggs and how to do that.
And that might be something, instead of doing some recipes, I think we will do that. Just do some simple
How to cook eggs, how to cook, because you had a bacon incident after you lost your eyesight.
Sure did.
You had a big bacon confrontation.
Yeah, I almost burnt my house down.
That's what I heard. They're still talking about it.
In fact, I got a new insurance agent. Hey, we're getting rid of that blind guy. He's crazy.
And how to cook sausage. How to know when your sausage is done.
Yeah, and bacon and
little sizzlers
and
things like that.
Then we can maybe bust off and do a couple little fun little
breakfast.
There.
Let's think about that for August.
Great idea. So anybody that wants to join us on the Cooking in the Dark list, come one, come all, just send an email to cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org. You'll get a message back and just reply to that confirmation and you're on the list. Or send me an email at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. That's cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com, all lowercase, all squished together, and I'll get you subscribed to the list as well. We are proud to announce that on the Blind Like Me, the Blind My Smart website, that we're going to be carrying California cane, white cane that's like a carbon fiber cane. Mm-hmm. It'll outlast any aluminum cane by, 10 or 15 years, easy.
All right, we got to go. We're going to do a Blind Mice. We had some winners, the Blind Mice, the scholarships that you gave away. We're going to have those winners, all three of them, on Blind Like Me, not this week, but in the following week.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right, very good,
that'll be
sir.
Great. Hey, guys, you have a good one. Keep on sampling.
Take care. Right, thank you much. Dale Campbell, Cooking in the Dark. Thanks, Tom Houston, Don Shaw.
Yeah.
Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
Don Patterson?
Yes, sir.
Go home and cook your hamburger. We'll talk to you later. I'm Phil Parr. I see you at the Blind Man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.